Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first order of business is approval of the previous committee meeting minutes of January 25th, which have already been distributed. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. At this time, I'd like to announce that committee item number 5, land acquisition in Brazoria County, 480 acres at the Christmas Bay Coastal Preserve, has been withdrawn. And with that, I'll move on to, I'd like to announce, Chairman, that pursuant to the requirements of Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act, an executive session will be held at this time for the purpose of deliberation of real estate matters under Section 551.072 of the Texas Open Meetings Act and seeking legal advice from the General Counsel under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act. We will now recess for executive session. I'm reconvening the regular session of the Conservation Committee on March 28, 2012 at 1:52. I'll go back to committee item number 1, update on TPWD progress and implementing the TPWD Land and Water Resources Conservation and Recreation Plan. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Carter Smith. Just a very quick update as to where we stand with the Land and Water Resources and Conservation Plan. As you will recall, we talked about this fairly extensively at the last meeting and really leading up to your retreat in May, in which we're going to be asking you all for further direction on kind of what action items we really need to be focused on here in the next couple of years to help implement the goals of the plan. Just as a reminder, with respect to kind of the 25 action items that the commission had approved and had asked us to track and report back to you, again, we had met fully 20 of those. One of those goals we had partially met, and then there were 4 for a variety of reasons that we simply were not able to meet. For instance, our prescribed burning acres target we were not able to meet with respect to the drought and burn bans and so forth. Scott Borough is our team lead on this, and so he's asked all of the division staff to provide the senior leadership team recommendations on potential action items from their respective divisions. We'll look through those and then be prepared on the 10th of May at the retreat to report those to you, ask for your input, thoughts on other ideas, and then hopefully walk out of that meeting, commissioners, with a new set of action items that we can be monitoring in order to meet the goals of the plan. So fairly straightforward process, but I just kind of wanted to remind you what the principal thing we're going to be focusing on in May is. What I do want to do at this time, too, is just share an update on a number of items that some of which y'all are aware of, some of which you may not be. I think that Gary and Ross have briefed all of you on the fact that we had to make the very difficult decision to suspend hatchery operations at our Dundee State Fish Hatchery up near Electra because of water levels in Lake Kemp. One of the things that Gary and Todd Engling and our hatchery team are doing are to compensate for that lost production of striped bass and hybrid stripers, which are really, really important to our fisheries management program. At other hatcheries around the state, they are increasing the production of stripers and kind of decreasing the production of largemouth bass. So average basis, you know, we produce somewhere around 4 to 4.5 million stripers for stocking, and I want to let you know Inland Fisheries team is trying to do everything they can to mitigate the impacts of this closure, although very, 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 very difficult situation having to do that. Now, on the flip side, in April, the 26th, is the dedication event for the new John D. Parker State Fish Hatchery in East Texas. And Vice Chairman Duggins has agreed to be there to help kind of keynote all of that. I know he's been working on his speech, he told me.
You don't want to miss it.
And I can assure you the spirit of John Parker will be looking down upon us on that event. And I hope that those of you who can be there will come there. This is a long time coming. an extraordinary investment by the Anglers of Texas. We'd love to have all of you there. Ms. Parker will be there, the family. It'll be a really a nice way to remember Commissioner Parker, who cared passionately about this. So if you can be there on the 26th, please do so, and let us know if you need any more details. Tomorrow you're going to get hear some more about the restoration of Bastrop State Park. Specifically, the commission will have a chance to recognize three of our partners who are providing fairly substantive donations to aid in the restoration of the state park, which, by the way, I think is going as well as it can. We've had great leadership on the ground there from Todd McClanahan. The agency has found about $1 million in capital funds that we've gotten approval to help apply to the erosion control issues that we've had after, you know, those blessed rains that have fallen, but which have also caused a lot of erosion to those hillsides there on which we're going to be planting trees a year from now. And so a lot going on there. End of April, we hope to have most of the park reopened. And so really, really proud of our team's progress there. A number of you have visited with me in recent months about kind of the status of the various longhorn herds on state property. Commissioner Scott, I know, has given us some good counsel on that front. We manage a series of longhorn herds on five of the state's park lands, Paladura Canyon, Copper Breaks, San Angelo, Big Bend Ranch, and, of course, LBJ State Park. Our park staff is developing a plan for how best we want to utilize these longhorns and, you know, making some decisions or recommendations about whether they are compatible in all cases with our other park goals. So how can we use them from a range management perspective, an interpretation of the important role that longhorns played in our state's a fine historical fabric and what we need to do there, and also may have some recommendations on some parks as to whether or not, you know, we think we can still effectively raise longhorns. And obviously the Texas Historical Commission has the principal responsibility for the state longhorn herd that was put together by Mr. Richardson and Mr. Dobie, I think J. Frank Dobie, that worked on that together. So we'll keep y'all apprised of those efforts. One of the things with the recent rains, we've had a lifting of burn bans in places around the state, and so certainly both our state parks and wildlife management areas have been busy trying to get in prescribed fire to help manage fuel loads and help accomplish our ecological goals with prescribed fire. We think this is really, really important, something we talked to the legislature a lot about in terms of using prescribed fire to help fight wildfires in the future. So we're trying to lead by example. At least on our state parks, we've done about a dozen prescribed fires in the last couple of months, and so we'll continue to push very, very hard on that. This morning, y'all heard Robert talk a little bit about the lesser prairie chicken, which I think everybody is aware has become very imperiled in the state. It's a candidate for listing under the Endangered Species Act. I want you to know we have not laid behind the log on that. Our wildlife biologists up in the Panhandle have been working very diligently with the ranching community to help enter into the what are called candidate conservation agreements with assurances. These are voluntary agreements with landowners in which the ranchers commit to a series of management practices to benefit prairie chickens on their ranches in exchange for assurances that will help protect them or provide regulatory certainty in the event that the species is listed, if at all. And again, we're working very hard to do what we can to help convince the service that the species should not be listed. But I want to tell you, we've got some extraordinary partnerships with ranchers up there. We've got, I think, 20 agreements to date on almost 220,000 acres. So really good cooperation on that front. This year is a special year for all of us who are involved in angling and hunting and who recognize the important role that anglers and hunters play in supporting the conservation work of this agency and other agencies like ours across the nation. It's the 75th anniversary of the Wildlife and Sport Fisheries Restoration Act, and those are the federal excise taxes that each and every one of you and all the state sportsmen pay on fishing and hunting equipment. Those are collected by our retail and industry partners Then they are sent to the Fish and Wildlife Service, who in turn distribute them back to the states to invest in fisheries and wildlife conservation. It is a great example of what has historically been called user pay, user benefit. I'd respectfully submit that this is a great example of user pay, public benefit, because those funds that hunters and anglers are paying and that industry is part of are coming back to invest in fish and wildlife that all Texans care about. And it's just been unquestionably the most successful conservation funding mechanism that we have ever had. It saddens me to hear that national surveys show that as little as 5% of hunters and anglers even know that the Wildlife and Sport Fish Restoration Program exists, and that they're paying those federal excise taxes that are collected by industry and then coming back to invest in conservation. And so this year we're going to be telling that story, and also talking about the next 75 years of this partnership. And we look forward to engaging the commission on this, because it's just a very, very, very important to all of our work. Last but not least, is required by the sunset legislation, I am required to provide updates to y'all on internal affairs, and if there are any issues that any of you want to visit with Major Graham Jones, the director of our internal affairs program, would certainly encourage you to do so. That team has been very proactive lately with ethics training and internal affairs training to our cadets in the Game Warden Academy, as well as our cadets in the Park Peace Officer Academy. Also, we had an officer-involved shooting up in the Texarkana area. Thankfully, our officer was involved, thanks to his training, handled that situation exactly as he should have, protected his life and the lives of other officers that were very much at risk. Our Internal Affairs Division, along with the Texas Rangers, investigated that and found that it was all justifiable with respect to the actions of our officer. And I think from a law enforcement perspective, we felt very, very proud of how that young officer had to act in a very, very difficult situation. So unless there's anything else, just looking at you, want to wait until next meeting? Okay. Okay. All right. Then I'd be happy to open it up and see if you have any questions about any of that.
But Carl, sure. On the federal wildlife or excise tax, is that going to be a nationwide push? Not just here, but all the states going to try to get together and let the public know that that's being taken out and what it's being used for?
Yes, sir. Absolutely, Commissioner. And the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, of which we're a part, essentially all the state and provincial fish and wildlife agencies, have taken this on and have asked a recently retired director, John Frampton from South Carolina, to help lead that effort, working with industry and our sportsmen's groups to help promote this. And so, yes, there's a big national effort that is underway, and then we're essentially kind of using that as a template to then help launch our own effort in Texas in support of that. So it'll be done nationally, regionally, and then at the state level.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anything else, Mr. Chairman?
Any comments, questions? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Item two, Edwards Aquifer Recovery Implementation. Cindy Loeffler and Colette Barron Bradsick, right? Okay.
Good afternoon. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Smith. For the record, my name is Cindy Loeffler. I'm the manager of the Water Resources Branch.
Oh, I'm Colette Barron Bradsick. I'm with the Legal Division.
Okay, and we're here to talk to you again about the Edwards Aquifer Recovery Implementation Program, specifically the proposal for designation of a state scientific area for the San Marcos River. So as you recall, we've been before the Commission to talk about this concept. In a nutshell, it would designate the if approved, designate the upper 2 miles of the San Marcos River from the Spring Lake Dam down to the wastewater treatment plant as a state scientific area. And within that area, it would be unlawful to uproot Texas wild rice, a federally endangered plant. And it would also give the agency working with Texas State and the City of San Marcos the authority when the flows are low, when Texas wild rice is most at risk, to go in and create areas within the designated area that would allow us to protect particular stands of Texas wild rice at low flows, 120 CFS. Okay, last time we met, the flow in the San Marcos River, that graph in the lower right-hand corner, that spike there, interestingly enough, 600 CFS in the San Marcos River, that happened the day of the last commission meeting. Before that, you can see the flows in the river very low. You know, last summer we were concerned that as the spring flows were dropping, the depth of flow in the river was dropping, you know, putting the wild rice at risk in the more shallow areas. Today, we're at about 200 CFS, which is above normal for the San Marcos River. So I don't remember how long ago we were above normal there, but good to see. Now, in response to questions that were raised at the last meeting on January 25th, we have prepared, or actually Texas State University, Dr. Tom Hardy, who is the chief science officer, he was here this morning. Dr. Hardy and his team prepared maps to show the distribution of Texas wild rice in the river, and what we have here is also showing you the depth of flow at 120 CFS. So there's a lot of information on this slide. I'll walk you through so you can see what we have here. The red areas on the map show the depth of flow when it's at 120 CFS. That red area corresponds to half a meter, so that's about a foot and a half. The outlined areas in black show where Texas wild rice is now. So you can get a sense of where the wild rice is corresponding to the shallow areas of the river at that flow. And then the crosshatched areas along the shore, along the banks, that's where access is happening now. So that's been documented. And so for this particular portion of the river, and you can see on the lower inset map kind of where it is with respect to the dam, where this larger map is, that portion of the river, Texas wild rice, makes up about 1.6% of the total area of that of the river as a whole. So moving downstream to Sewell Park, similar concept. Red means shallow, verging on too shallow for wild rice. The outlined areas, black and purple, where Texas wild rice is. Purple areas are the persistent areas, so year after year after year, they find Texas wild rice there in those spots. And then for this portion of the river, just a little bit downstream, about 6.5% of the total river acreage is Texas wild rice. Moving downstream a bit farther, same scheme. Red is shallow, the outlined areas, you see where recreation is happening. 7.4% of the river is Texas wild rice there. And then finally, down at San Marcos River at Bicentennial Park, 3.6% of the upper San Marcos River is Texas wild rice. One more. So down at Lucio Park, and you can see I-35 there in the lower right-hand corner. See the semi-truck down there? So that's the lowest portion of the river that they mapped for us, showing 1.9% of the upper part of the river is Texas wild rice. So hopefully that answers the question that was raised at the end of the presentation last time. Public comment to date, we have a few more hours until 5 o'clock today, but as of yesterday late, 52 comments had been received, 45 are in favor of adoption, 7 opposed adoption. And some of the entities that have continued to show their support on the slide. So the recommendation is that the commission adopt this new section of Parks and Wildlife Code concerning the San Marcos River State Scientific Area, with changes as necessary to the proposed text. Those changes came from a comment letter from Sierra Club National Wildlife Federation. These are non-substantive conforming changes, clarification changes, helpful changes in terms of just making it very clear what we're doing with the proposal. With that, any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. You said protect. What measure of protection or what do you think could you...
So what we are envisioning is, one, start with education. You know, working with the university, with the city of San Marcos, put on a full-blown education campaign about what Texas wild rice is, what the threats are, work with the university in terms of contact with the students, so do those things first. Also look at if there are better places for recreational access. So some of the areas that could be, you know, more of a threat to Texas wild rice, if those areas, if there could be alternatives for those areas. As the flows begin to drop, you know, and I showed that graph at the beginning, flows are now up around 200 CFS, so that buys us some time. You know, when we were here in January, it was looking like we might have to do this as soon as this summer. But as the flows drop, you know, look at the areas in the river where the most threatened stands of wild rice are and put out, you know, the concept right now is to put out booms or buoys around particular stands. But it's also, as much as anything, it's also just encouraging recreational users to avoid those areas. So we hope to do that in the education portion of it. And then at all times, under all flow rates, the uprooting of Texas wild rice would be prohibited. Right.
Is that a misdemeanor or
right.
Class C?
Right, it's a Class C, right? Yep, Class C. So, of course, our game wardens could issue those citations, but also the City of San Marcos, the University Police, we had some discussions with them about doing this. So that's how that would work.
In the process of protecting it, would there be any economic impact to the university or the city or the county?
We don't believe so. You know, we've had support from the university, from the city, from the Lions Club being the main tube vendor on the river. And if anything, the thought is, you know, protection of the river, protection of the spring flows through the larger RIP package that we've talked about in the past actually would benefit the economy by having, you know, maintaining a healthy San Marcos River and continuing to attract, you know, tourists and folks to come and recreate there.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Any questions? If there's no further discussion, I'll place this item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda for public comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Presentation. Committee item number 3, acceptance of land donation, Cameron County, 10 acres. And the Ebony Unit of Las Palomas Wildlife Management Area. Request permission to begin the public notice and input process.
Commissioners, for the record, Corky Coleman with the Land Conservation Program. This is a small donation at one of the Las Palomas units in the valley. The Ebony Unit, which is relatively small. Everybody probably knows where the valley is. But if you look at the donation track, it is all native habitat, very thick. Talking to the biologist down there, he thinks even too thick to hunt. So basically, we accept this donation. It will be used for his habitat value. And they do hunt white wings and doves across the road at the Las Palomas 70 unit. So it will just be used for the habitat more than anything else. We were contacted by an attorney in the valley. There's a lot of heirs. The family really didn't want the property. He's put together evidently got consent from all the heirs to donate to Parks and Wildlife. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So the land in green is what we own now?
Yes, sir.
And this would be that little...
That little rectangle right south of the green track, yes, sir. And it is across a county road there, a small county dirt road. So, staff request permission to begin the public notice and input process.
Any other questions? There's no other discussion. I'll authorize staff to begin the public notice and input process. Committee item number 4, land sale, Brazoria County, approximately 2.5 acres along the San Bernard River. Request permission to begin the public notice and input process.
Again, for the record, Corky Coleman with the Land Conservation Program. This is the sale of about 2.5 acres that was purchased by our artificial reef program in Brazoria County along the San Bernard River. This tract was purchased in 2003 with the intent that we use it for a staging area for our artificial reef program. Since that time, the river has silted in. It's been dredged once, it resilted in. basically, the property just can't function for what we intended the use to be when we purchased the property. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Now it's costing us money in cleanup fees. We've had a lot of trouble with people using the property and leaving litter, dumping there. So we do pay a monthly fee now. We've had to fence the property to keep people out. At one point, we thought we'd be good neighbors, and we built a little dock for people to go and fish, and somebody burned it down. They thought it was a good idea to have a campfire on a wooden dock. Well, that didn't work. And basically, it's just not going to work out for what we intended to choose.
Have you had it appraised?
We had it appraised in when we bought it in 2003, it appraised for $90,000. We paid $77,000 for it. Since that time, since 2003, about an acre of it has turned to wetlands. The bulkheads are all in disrepair. I've talked to some local realtors, and it seems now we would probably be lucky to get what we paid for it. If you notice the property, if you're looking at it to the west or southwest, is a fishing camp, a guiding service, boat bait shop. Generally, when we first think about selling a piece of property, we will notify the adjacent landowners and see if they're interested. This person is interested in the lots. If we could work a deal with him to at least recoup what we have in it, that would probably be a good deal for us.
I've had a little history with the San Bernard and own a lot of property upriver from it. And I would think that would be extremely optimistic to get what we paid for it, because they've shut down any kind of commercial activity. And that San Bernard River does not, I don't know if you ever crossed it on I-10, you know, like when you're headed, you know, it's about this deep if it's running. This whole thing is going to silt in because they've stopped the commercial aspect of it. They don't want to let any tugboats or barges, no traffic. And so what it's doing is just silting in. It'll end up being a wetlands is what it'll end up being. It won't even be a navigable waterway. So
you don't need this?
Hmm?
You don't need
no.
this?
No. I got about 800 acres a little further upstream. Matter of fact, I'll sell y'all a heck of a park. We can grow rye rice on this thing.
Get you one of those flat-bottom boats.
That's man. What you got to have,
yeah.
An airboat.
Yeah, that's about the only way to get around. So anyway, I would say we should get rid of it.
Yes, sir. any discussion? No further discussion. Authorize staff to begin the public notice process.
Thank you, sir.
Committee item number 6, land acquisition, Correll County. Acquisition of approximately 142 acres at Mother Neff State Park. Request permission to begin the public notice input process.
Chairman, Commissioners, good afternoon. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This item is the first reading pertaining to a recommendation by staff that we pursue by purchase the acquisition of two tracts of land adjacent to Mother Neff State Park. Mother Neff was the first official state park. It's located in between Temple and Waco. It's a pretty small state park. It's currently 259 acres, but it's a very popular state park. It's close to the highway, close to a couple of significant population centers. These are willing sellers. They've been neighbors of the park for many years, members of the Friends organization for many years, and have actually been working with us for a couple of years to come up with a way to add those to the state park. The sale of the Fortress Cliffs Ranch, which you'll see tomorrow, would give us that opportunity. Those lands have a federal interest in them, and because of that, we are required to convert that expeditiously into new public recreation lands, and this is the first tract that staff will suggest that we look at as a very high priority for State Park Division. It would add half a mile of frontage on the Leon River, would increase the area of the park by 55%, would add some really terrific topography and some really healthy habitat and some really special opportunities for trails and recreational opportunities that don't exist currently in the park. This map will show how that lays on the land with regard to the park. That squiggly line at the bottom is the river, and you can see it would more than triple the frontage that the park currently has on the river.
Is
The property terminates in a very significant bluff that looks out over the river valley. This rock shelter actually stretches for about a quarter of a mile. Has never been potted, has never been excavated. It's an intensely important cultural resource that would add significantly to our mission to protect significant cultural resources of Texas, not to mention the fact that the view from up on top of the bluff is are very beautiful views. This is what the river looks like. Some of y'all from the hill country might look at that and see muddy water. I look at that and I see catfish. opportunity to put a kayak or a canoe in the water, it would add significantly, again, to our frontage on the river. We do have signed letters of intent from both of the owners to sell that property to us. The National Park Service has looked at this and tentatively agreed to a conversion of those funds to purchase this property. And we would anticipate coming back to you in May for an action item if you authorize us to seek to begin the public notice and input process. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions from the commission?
Like a few.
Correct.
No.
Addition. No further discussion. I'll authorize staff to begin the public notice and input process. Thank you, Ted. Committee item number 7, acceptance of land donation to Aransas County, 80 acres of Big Tree in an area at Goose Island State Park. Request permission to begin the public notice and input process.
Chairman, commissioners, good afternoon. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. Staff is very excited about this particular presentation. We have an opportunity to add by donation 80 acres of land at Goose Island State Park on the Lamar Peninsula. This map shows that tract in relation to the rest of the park. It surrounds a property called the Big Tree, which was acquired in the mid-1930s. Up until a couple of years ago, it was the largest live oak tree known in the state of Texas. It's a very popular tourist destination, not only for the Big Tree, but because the parking lot at the Big Tree is currently probably the best place in Texas to drive to see whooping cranes. Immediately north of this tract labeled the Big Tree Ranch is the southern edge, or the west southwest edge of the Aransas National Wildlife Refuge, which of course has been established for the whooping cranes. Staff has been trying to figure out a way to acquire this piece of property for a number of years. The Nature Conservancy has been working closely with us to try and find a creative way to bring dollars to the table to do that, just because of its significance for the whooping cranes. We have sought several sources of money over the years, including endangered species money, CAP dollars, coastal improvement and access dollars, and it appears we now have an opportunity. Looks like we're going to be party to a settlement in the next month or so that would result in funding going to the Nature Conservancy to buy this property. The acquisition cost is right at $2 million. The Nature Conservancy would turn right around and donate that property to Texas Parks and Wildlife to be added to Goose Island State Park and managed as part of the park. And we're in front of you today to request permission to begin the public notice process. There is a signed option. The Nature Conservancy has a signed option with the owners to buy that property at appraised value. And we're optimistic that we can come back in May and with an action request to close on that donation, and be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Corky, what's the status of the issue we had over the sewage or water easement line? We had some.
We did. There was an issue on a property adjacent to us at Goose Island State Park on the coast. And can we talk about that or?
She looks desperately for
help.
Yeah. I withdraw the question.
We're working on it.
Through the question.
Fortunately, this item in front of you is unrelated.
Ken, I've always heard that this is the biggest tree. He said until recently it was thought to be. Where's the biggest oak tree now?
Yes, sir. As part of the Austin Woods project down in Brazoria and Matagorda counties, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recently acquired a tract of old growth bottomland forest and added to that effort. And in inventorying it, they discovered a tree that scores bigger on the Carter, help me out here. It's the big tree Boone and Crockett. They score them somehow, and they have one that scores slightly higher. State champion trees that does score slightly higher than this tree, but this is still an impressive tree.
Where's the new one?
Brazoria County.
Pictures with
that big old lava bottomland and a marsh. Oh, this is huge lava.
Yeah.
But this is a huge one here. I've been to this one a few times.
We haven't seeded the record. I just want you to know that there's competition for the title.
Any other questions or discussion?
You know, doing BCI, SCI scoring or BNC scoring, that's just in the whoever's doing the scoring. So we just haven't got the right score on ours yet.
All right. So we haven't seeded the title.
Authorize the staff to begin the public notice and input that process. Committee item number 8, request for easement in Harris County, hydrocarbon pipeline at Painted Center Battleground State Historic Site. Request permission to begin the public notice and input process. Ted Hollingsworth.
Chairman, Commissioners, my name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This is another first reading. We've had a request from Chevron Pipeline Company to expand an existing easement at the San Jacinto Battleground on the eastern outskirts of Houston, Texas. This is the site, as you all know, where Sam Houston defeated a numerically superior army under General Santa Anna in 1836 to win Texas's independence. Staff considers this probably to be the most sensitive piece of real estate in the entire system. But as you can see from the picture, it is surrounded by industrial development. There are currently about 5 pipeline corridors that cross the park. This pipeline corridor dates to the 1920s. There are currently 5 pipelines in it. Chevron requests permission to add a 10-inch pipeline and a 12-inch pipeline to that corridor. They'll be carrying product primarily associated with the gas boom in South Texas, 2 refineries in this area. Chevron has worked very closely with us to try and minimize the impacts from the expansion of that easement. The leadership of State Parks has asked me to let you know that we are still superimposing the survey data on information we have about the possibility of expanding the ship for the Battleship Texas and the new visitor center. We're continuing to look and try to make sure that whatever we do at the park won't interfere with future operations or infrastructure project, but we did want to get this on the on your calendar for a first reading. If all things are going, you authorize the easement in May, the project would begin this summer. Again, the pipelines are to be directionally drilled so that there'll be no surface impact, no surface expression in the park. This map shows 2 bore sites. There's actually a 3rd bore site in the upper right-hand corner where the pipeline comes out from under the Houston Ship Channel. There would be a bore pit there as well. Again, Chevron has worked very carefully to avoid any forested areas and to avoid areas that we think are high probability areas for archaeological resources, although there will be thorough archaeological testing and monitoring of the project while it's underway. Again, this is a first reading. We're requesting permission to begin the public notice and input process. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have about the project. Yes, sir.
What depth are they going to be going down to the directional?
Well, we haven't committed yet. A minimum of 30 feet, although the last three or four pipelines, we've ended up asking them to set those at 40 feet. Right now, tentatively, the current draft drawings have them at 30 feet below grade.
Questions?
Yes, yeah, that's that spot.
Where is the abandoned pipeline?
The abandoned pipeline is right in the middle of the corridor. It was installed in 1929, and it's in the center of that five-line corridor. The new alignment has a dog leg in it. As you can see, the original alignment actually extends a little further down what we call Independence Parkway or Battleground Road, but it's in that same where it's in the park proper, where it passes in front of the battleship, for example. There are in that red line, you can see there are five pipelines, one of which would just be abandoned in place and purged and sealed.
Any other questions?
No, sir.
If there are no other questions, we will authorize staff to give the public notice. The process. Your question?
Not on this
one. Number nine?
No, I would just, Chairman, on another matter, when I was talking about hatcheries, one thing I forgot to point out to the commission, I wanted to make sure y'all were aware of, on the 11th of April, we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Marine Development Center down the hatchery in Corpus. And that's a great milestone for us. Commissioner Falcone has agreed to be there, and I hope that others of you who may be able to come down there can and help us celebrate that milestone with CCA and a bunch of our local partners there. So 11th April, Corpus Christi, 30th anniversary of that hatchery built by none other than Gene McCarty. So let us know if you can make that. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Regarding committee item number 9, the water distribution pipeline easement at Monahan Sand Hill State Park, Warden Winkler County, no further action is required at this time. Chairman, this committee is pleased with business.
Thank you.